This is Matt and Myron, the podcast.
It is Sunday morning here. Matt Meyer, presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Myron. I'm Matt. We are enjoying a wonderful Sunday morning. Is it nice where you are? It's beautiful here. This may be one of the best days of the year here in Kentucky. Is it good in Minneapolis?
No. It's cloudy, a little gloomy. Not great.
That's why you should be here. It's a beautiful time of year in the South. And we've got Zach Bye. He's in Denver. I'm not sure how nice it is there. What are you laughing at?
No. He said, why you should be here? Like, I had
you
an
should
offer.
Be. This That's is something. It. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to come, but you should be. He's a co-host of The Drive on 104.3 in Denver. I feel like Denver's been in the news a lot, Zach, so I want to hit basketball and football with you, but let's start with the basketball. The Nuggets finally lost the Lakers. I don't think there's any reason for concern. The only thing was if there was a chance the Lakers could or the Nuggets could go perfect, I guess that went away. But do you have any worry at all after the loss last night?
Oh, none. Zero. And if you watch the game, you realize, unfortunately, actually within the first 4 or 5 minutes of the first quarter, that Denver, for whatever reason, and after the fact it doesn't even matter, but for whatever reason, they did not have the requisite competitive energy the way that they have had for every game in the series, and really most games that we watched last year during their 16-4 playoff run. That was weird. That felt like if you covered the logo that said Western Conference playoffs and you just showed me possessions during that game, I would have guessed it was a Tuesday in December, not a playoff game on a Saturday night on ABC. So, for whatever reason, if you do the same thing over and over and over, you're talking about 11 consecutive wins over the Lakers. They just didn't have the juice, and I expect them to bring it in game five.
What'd you make of Michael Porter saying, I don't want to blame the shoot-around thing where we didn't have our shoes, but it didn't help as they were preparing for that game?
Yeah, what happened with that? What's the real shoe story?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's just like the human element that rarely comes into play. But yeah, and to think that it didn't, impact anything. I don't want to hang the loss on it because guys, they didn't have the energy to play. That's the reason why they trailed every second of the game, not because they didn't have their shoes. But you guys know these pro athletes, their idiosyncrasies and their routines and their shoot arounds. Like I come. I'm at these games hours before they take place, and the rigid routine that these guys have from the moment that they come on the floor to who they work with pregame to how long that routine takes to getting back in the locker room. I mean, it's very formulaic. And when you don't have your basketball sneakers an hour before the game, that's weird. And you see Michael Porter Jr. going through his routine to keep his schedule on time, and he's doing it in flip flops. That did not help.
But how long are we talking about? How much later could the shoes have gotten there?
What do you mean? How much later could the shoes have gotten there?
Well, but how late was the bus? Like, are we talking? Did it get there 40 minutes before the game? Did it get there 2 hours before the game?
Oh! I got you. Yeah, from my understanding, there was a little bit between an hour and 90 minutes before the game. Whereas in these guys are getting to the arena 2.5 hours before the game, and they were about 90 minutes out from tip off, and they did not have their shoes.
Wow.
They were back at the hotel.
Okay.
And the way that traffic works in LA, I guess, I don't know, but again, I don't want to get too distracted from the lack of energy and vigor that they had. I mean, yeah, that was a component pregame, but look, when they tipped off, everyone had their shoes on. They didn't play in flip-flops, and they just didn't have the energy. So that's the reason why they lost. The Lakers had a sense of desperation that the Nuggets just didn't have and couldn't manufacture. And you would have to imagine – I've been saying the same phrase for 15 years while I've been doing this job. There's only one version of being starving, and that's actually to be starving. You can't manufacture that type of hunger. And when you've beaten the same team 7 consecutive postseason games, most ever in the history of the Los Angeles Lakers, and 11 times overall, I think they just, like I said, didn't have that requisite energy to compete. And I expect them to not only win in game 5, but to win big.
I'm curious, beyond basketball, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about what you did in the NFL draft and going after Bo Nix, which felt like a reach for to a lot of people. What did you make of Bo Nix and where he fits in Sean Payton's plans going forward?
Well, I mean, where he fits in the plans going forward, he's, you know, he's the franchise quarterback. He's the first round draft pick. He's the second highest draft pick in the history of the Denver Broncos. If you look at, you know, where he's ranked on people's big boards in terms of, you know, overall player rank, by definition, yeah, it was a reach. But at the quarterback position, you guys know the same way as I do, the rules don't really apply and haven't for about a decade. If you need a quarterback and don't have one, you got to go get your guy. And if you look at the fit between Bo Nix and Sean Payton specifically, it's not, you know, it's very unique, okay? Sean Payton runs this very specific timing-based, rhythm-based, tempo-based offense that needs a specific type of quarterback that can play within that structure. And Bo Nix, by all measurements and accounts between people who know that system, say this has potential to be a really, really good fit. When you watched Oregon, Bo Nix got the ball out extremely quickly. He's very accurate. I mean, and by the numbers, he's the most accurate passer in the history of college football. And what the general reaction would be is, well, he throws so many passes right at the line of scrimmage. That's true, but guess what? So does Sean Payton's offense. You remember Drew Brees. He wasn't taking seven-step drops. It was, you know, three-step, get the ball out, slants, give guys an opportunity to make plays after the catch, slants, dig routes. Bo Nix is really good at that. So even if you took away the passes at the line of scrimmage and the Broncos gave us those numbers, he still had, you know, the highest completion percentage in the draft. So I think it's got potential to be a good fit, but I also thought Russell Wilson was going to be a rock star in Denver. So,
Zach, I'm going to tell you something. As somebody who's a big college football guy, I'm just going to say this just for your own mental health. Don't get your hopes up about Bo Nix. Auburn, just I wish him the best, and I hope it works out. But don't get your hopes up on Bo Nix. You don't want to have happen to you what's happened to fan bases of the past.
Well, I'm going to say this. If you got a crystal ball, you should be making a ton of money on sports gambling. We do not know how these things
You should see what Myron and I do on these.
look, if we knew the answers to the test, Josh Rosen wouldn't go before Lamar Jackson. Joe Montana doesn't go to the third round, right? So we do not know what it looks like. We've never seen Bo Nix specifically work with Sean Payton. We've also never seen Sean Payton work with any young quarterback. In the history of Sean Payton's 17 years of play calling, he has started a rookie one time, and that was during COVID when the whole team couldn't play, and he had to start Ian Book. So we just don't know. We don't know what it's going to look like with Bo. We don't know what it's going to look like with
Sean. Well, I mean,
Sean.
Zach, you can say that about anything. We don't know anything, so why should we even talk about it? I mean, on some level, we don't know what any of these guys are going to do. We're all projecting.
That's a good point. But he makes a good point. I mean, we don't. You know,
we don't know any of these guys. We don't know if any of these guys are going to be good. On some level, then we would just be sitting in silence.
No, you're exactly right. This is what makes it fun. But if you've got it all figured out, why would we even kick the ball off?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just all sit and stare into the abyss. What? But Zach, real quick before we get done, do you like the Nuggets to win the overall thing this year? You feel good about where they are?
Yes, it's hard not to. I mean, you're talking about a team that is now 13-2 in their last 15 playoff games. You're talking about a team a year ago that went 16-4 on their way to a championship, second most dominant run in the last 15 years. Do they have the best basketball player in the world? Yes. Do they have the best starting five in the world? Yes. Do they have the championship equity? Yes. The history of the NBA is all about repeat champions, from the Celtics in the 60s, to the Lakers and the Celtics in the 80s, to the Bulls in the 90s, to the Shaq and Kobe in the 2000s, the Heat, the Golden State Warriors, the Spurs. The Nuggets have the goods. And in basketball, it's the most repeatable championship formula. And when you have a core in place, and they do, and we've already seen them do it, I fully expect them to do it again.
Zach Bye, he's a co-host of The Drive on 104.3 in Denver. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
There you go. The Bucks has now been announced will be without Giannis and Dame Lillard. So they are both going to be out. That's now official today. Pacers are a 10-point favorite at this point. Do they have any chance of winning? That we'll get to the phones. We still, I think, got some folks on. 888-SAY-ESPN. I want to talk to them. That's next here on Sunday Morning with Matt Meyer.
Today on ESPN Radio, the Mavs up 2-1 and looking for that commanding 3-1 lead while Kawhi and the Clippers fight to tie the series up at 2 before we return to L.A. Coverage of Game 4 begins today at 3 Eastern with tip-off at 3:30 on ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Indeed. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
Wow, it's Sunday. Wow, I haven't heard this song. I haven't heard this song in 25 years. Who sings this?
Summer Camp. Summer like Camp, I think, last time.
But what I heard was the song? I haven't heard this song in forever. What a pull. Sunday Morning with Matt Myron. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah. Presented by Progressive Insurance.
Summer Camp.
That's what it's called? It's Summer Camp?
No, that's the last time I heard it, and I remember the Summer Camp because, I was kind of a rowdy kid. I accidentally put gum in somebody's hair, and it was a whole thing.
What do you mean you accidentally put gum in somebody's hair?
Like, I was young. I was like 9 or something. It wasn't my best moment.
You got to, like, cut that out with scissors now.
It was bad.
Sound like it was
that's
accidental.
That's something I'm proud of.
Hang on a second. You can't say it was accidental and you were a bad kid. That means you did it on purpose.
I was mischievous at times. But, yeah, it just – I was playing and I didn't think it would land in her hair, and it did. And
this song makes you think of that moment?
Yeah. Sorry if she's listening. I think her name was Sarah.
Sarah,
if she's listening.
I tell you what, before we get back to this, Sarah, please, excuse me, Myron, give Sarah a formal apology here on the radio.
Sarah, I was, you know, not thinking straight. You know what I mean? I was hopped up on marshmallows and s'mores and whatever we had at that summer camp. And to put that gum in your hair was just wrong. And I do apologize from the bottom of my heart.
There you go.
It was my best moment.
There you go. Nice. See? Nice to stand up and take
good.
Responsibility. Giannis good. And Dame Lillard both out for tonight's Game 4, according to the Bucks. It's the 13th time a team has played a playoff game with its two top scorers out from the regular season. In the past, those teams are 0-12. 0-12.
Oof.
Do the Bucks beat history and win today, Mark?
Well, there's a part of me that says, hey, we just watched the Miami Heat beat the Celtics without Jimmy Butler, but they hit, 103 threes or something like that to do it. So, no, it's not going to happen. The problem with the Pacers is the Pacers beat the Bucks at full strength 4 out of 5 times in the regular season. So now no Dame, no Giannis. Middleton's going to have to score 78 points or something like that to have a chance. It's just the Bucks have not been able to catch a break. They fire Adrian Griffin and people say, okay, 30-13 isn't sufficient. Let's go hire Doc Rivers. He goes 17-19 the rest of the way. I still don't think Dame and Giannis have figured it out. You know, they just – every time I hear Dame, Matt, all he talks about is going to practice and going home. Like, he just – that's all he talks about. Like, I go home and I come to practice. That doesn't sound like a dude who's really bonded fully with the team. It's beyond the basketball, I think, and it's been that way all season.
Yeah, it's not been a good situation, and we'll see if it gets better, even in the offseason. I'm not sure. Let's go to Brandon in Texas. Where in Texas are you, Brandon?
I'm in Austin.
Austin, all right.
Beautiful city. Great city.
It's a little overcrowded now, but hopefully things are going well. What do you got?
All right, well, first I want to talk about dirty players, which I'm looking at it at a different route than y'all are, but – before that, I want to say thank both of y'all for getting me in trouble 2 weeks ago when I called in and didn't brag on my son for being on the Kentucky cheer team. Because
Yeah, you didn't brag on it, man.
Yeah, you didn't brag. We told you about that.
Yeah, they work out on Sundays and they listen to your show. So they blew my phone up when I got off the phone call. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I am extremely proud of my son, more than I could ever express, and that entire cheer program. So I just want to say thank you all for that.
Well, that's very sweet. And a big shout out to the Kentucky cheer program, one of the best in the country on a regular basis. All right, so who's the dirty player?
Okay, I'm looking at it like this. Faking a foul is just as bad as committing a foul.
Okay.
So when LeBron is flopping around on the floor like a fish out of water, I think that's a dirty play.
Interesting. I appreciate the call. Do you agree with that premise, Myron, that flopping is as bad as being dirty?
I mean, I think if you're going to talk about flopping, James Harden is the guy that you would put.
Yeah, I mean,
right there. And you know who else does it a ton? Embiid.
No, I mean, seriously, if I'm talking about flopping,
it should be
James Harden and Duke on the – if there was a flopping – if flopping was a sport, the Wheaties boxes would be the Duke roster and James Harden.
Listen, I've covered college basketball for more than 15 years. I honestly didn't know until the last few months that Kentucky people hated Duke. I didn't realize Duke was that high on the list.
But everybody knows
really
Duke
do.
Flops. You know that.
Yeah.
I'll give you some more. Grant Williams. Grant Williams, one of the biggest floppers on earth, and he's not even good enough to have earned it.
But, I mean, when I thought of it, I thought, okay, Tennessee, Louisville. I know you guys hate those. I didn't know Duke had drawn that
Everyone in the country hates Duke. Does anyone like Duke that's not a Duke fan? No one. Duke is the universal hatred. Yes, come on. Who likes Duke?
I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. But, yeah, I didn't realize the animosity was to that.
Well, it is. Let's go to Dave in Indy. What's up, Dave?
Guys, I'm not necessarily an NBA guy, so we're going to go dirty players. I'm going to go with Ndamukong Suh. But I had two quick comments about the Colts draft. I would love your thoughts.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
That's a good call.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got. One, I get the Colts aren't necessarily a national media darling unless we're in it. And coulda, woulda, shoulda. We were one play away from beating Houston, winning the division with Gardner Minshew. So I loved our draft. I think the kid from UCLA, LA, too, is going to be phenomenal. But I wanted your thoughts. I'm sure you heard Chris Ballard's comments on A.D. Mitchell, where he blasted some unnamed source for kind of ripping the kid, saying he was uncoachable. I thought Ballard came out. So that's really my take. I would love your thoughts on it because I always appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it, sir.
I loved it. The Mitchell kid they drafted, there are some reports about, past behavior. You heard this about Spencer Rattler, who someone put out an anonymous report that he'd done a reality show in high school, and that's why people are hesitant on him. It is so wrong for people to say these negative things about these young men, create a narrative about them that they have to fight through their whole careers, narratives that affect them and how they're drafted, how they're viewed. It's wrong. And I think everybody who does that is a coward. Every scout executive who says that about a kid and doesn't put their name on it, you're a coward. Every media person who reports these things without telling us who said it also isn't doing their job, because you damage these young people, Matt. And some of these kids did stuff at 19, 17, 16. I'm 40 and I'm still doing stuff. Like, at the end of the day, we got to have some grace, especially for these young people. And I thought Chris Ballard and the way he called out the people who put out those reports was spot on. It's wrong that these, I think, cowardly folks get to say these things that damage the careers of these young people.
So let me first of all, I loved what Chris Ballard said. So I'm with you on that. If I was a player, I would love for my GM to take up for that. But let me again play devil's advocate.
Okay, go ahead.
What if there is a kid that actually does drop in the draft because teams believe or think or even incorrectly think that there is a character issue? And so when people are falling down the draft boards like Spencer Rattler was, and people say, well, why is this guy falling? If the media knows that this is why they're falling, what are they just supposed to not say it?
They're supposed to call it out. The report.
But what if
Spencer
it's true?
Rattler,
I mean, I'm not saying in these cases it is, but what if it is true that it's attitude that's – I mean, let's say that Spencer Rattler did fall because of a Netflix show. Now, that's stupid, but let's say that's why it's happening. Then why can't they say that?
My job is to challenge it, especially if it's an anonymous report.
But what if it's true? What if he does have an attitude problem?
But that's not what the report was. It was something that happened in high school – is what's affecting how people view him now.
But what if that is how it's affected?
Yeah, that's silly, and it should be called out.
Well, but that's your opinion.
I'm not going to report some anonymous scout or exec saying something damaging like that, and do their dirty work for them. That part's unfair. If they're bold enough to say that, then put your name on it.
Yeah, but again, it's wrong. I'm saying if there is a player that is falling, And everybody knows they're falling because this story about them from high school came out. Is the media just supposed to not say it?
Not an anonymous report. We don't report a lot of things that are anonymous.
But we're just supposed to assume that it's falling and
it's
random?
There was no reason to put that report out there. It helped nothing. And it was unfair to Spencer Rattler. Especially if it's coming from an anonymous source. You learn that in journalism school the first time you step in a class.
Well,
it's
I would say most big stories now come from anonymous sources.
That's not a big story, though, Matt. That's not Watergate. That's not some political guy. That's not that. That's nonsense.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I also, though, when I see a player falling, I'm wondering why. And if people know why.
But that may not be true, though.
Yeah. Well,
it may not be true that that's why.
It may not be, but they probably wouldn't. Well, we've made our points. We're going to talk more about the draft and the teams that had the best weekend. That's it.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
I agree with that. Caleb Williams, I think, in a great spot. Lots of good receivers. Probably the best spot on offense that a number one pick has had in a long time. We'll see how it goes. It's Sunday morning, Matt Myron, here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me give you some numbers from the draft here. Michigan led all schools with 13 selections in the draft. Only the second time in the draft era where five schools have produced 10 or more picks. I will say, though, Michigan's 13 is the first time a non-SEC school has had the most picks in 9 years. So Michigan, now you can see why they were so good with 13 picks. Six quarterbacks taken in the first 12. Quickest that's ever happened in that draft era. And then there were 23 offensive players taken in the first round of the draft. That's the most offensive players in the common draft era. Can I ask a question, Nick, as you were giving me these stats? What does it mean? I see you use the phrase common draft era. What does that mean? What makes it common?
Was that to me?
Yes.
I believe it is when the common draft
era. It's a certain year.
But what makes it? What's the change?
Give me like 30 seconds.
What is the common draft era? Because I always see people say, why don't they say in the NFL draft? They always say in the common draft era. Does that mean like?
I think it was way back in like maybe the 60s even.
But what's the difference between the NFL draft history and the common draft history?
I think the 60s was when the AFL and NFL merged.
Yeah, 1967.
And it became the common.
Yep. Same as the
draft era.
So what was it called before that?
What was the two?
The uncommon draft.
Okay. I always hear that phrase. People say in the common draft era. So I guess in the other era, it was really odd. What was happening then?
So here you go.
No, it's just the merger.
Here we go. Let's let the AFL
and NFL had separate drafts.
Okay.
So the common draft era is when obviously the two merged.
In common.
And so that it was one giant list, and everybody went to the one league.
That's what I wanted. I like that information.
Common draft. Okay.
That's why we're here, the common draft era. What do you think about Michigan producing the most players? I mean, again, like that's been an SEC school. It's either been LSU, Georgia, or Alabama for 9 straight years.
Well, I mean, it was the last time a Big Ten team won a national championship. So I think those numbers increase once they won the national championship. To be a part of a national title team elevate your stock on a lot of levels. So I wonder
to what extent you and I talked about this the other night, if there's a bias teams have towards teams that do well in the playoffs, like Washington, if Washington does not make the championship game, do they have all those draft picks, right? Is it the case that all those draft picks were because they were that good, or is it that the heightened status of being in the championship game elevates all the players? I'm not sure. It's like a chicken or egg thing, kind of.
Yeah, it's probably both. But I do think the advantage you have as those teams is there's just more games to scrutinize. Like, there's just more opportunities to see you play against elite competition. So I think that's the value of that as well.
Here's something for the future of college football. The SEC has had the most players picked in a draft for something. I want to say it's like 17 straight years. But if you consider Michigan, Oregon, Washington, Washington, Oregon, UCLA, and USC in the Big Ten, the Big Ten would have had the most players drafted for the first time ever. So if you take the way the conferences look for the future, you would have actually had the Big Ten have the most players picked for the first time. I found that interesting, Myron.
I mean, they just got to split. I mean, I know that's coming, but like the top schools are just split from everybody else at everything, especially in football.
It was like 72 for the Big Ten, 70 for the SEC, and then like the next highest was like 33. I mean, I don't know that people realize how much different starting next year those whatever it is, 30 or 6 or 30, whatever it is, however many of those teams – I don't think people realize how different it's going to be, Myron, when they are so much more money, talent, et cetera, than even the Big 12 and the ACC.
Yeah, I think it'll become pretty clear. I mean, just because they're going to get more exposure than ever before. But I do think we've reached a point where, you know, the top schools with the top resources and talent, break off, govern yourselves, create your own NCAA, if you will, play your own championships. In every sport, I would support it in basketball, even. So,
no, I think you don't mean that.
I would.
You don't mean that.
I do.
You don't want. Don't want Oakland, Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. Yale, Auburn. You don't want that.
Those are beautiful events and beautiful moments. I love it. At the same time, that's not what people want in the Sweet 16.
But they do want it in the first and second round. Weekend. They do want it in the first and second round.
Listen,
they do. They do. You take that away. The magic of the NCAA tournament takes a hit.
It's coming. It's coming, Matt.
Well,
we're
going to
have a separate tournament.
That's
a separate tournament for those power.
Huge mistake. Yes, it is. If you take away St. Peter's, if you take all that stuff away, and look, I'm the team that's lost to these teams two of the last 3 years. If you take that stuff away, you are taking a huge part of what makes the NCAA tournament special away. You can't do that.
That sentiment you have is valid. It wouldn't last. It would be how people felt early. It would not be how they felt over the two, three, four years.
I agree. I think the power schools need to break away. They need to do their own thing. But you have to keep the tournament the way it is. Everything else, do whatever you want. But when it comes to the NCAA basketball tournament, men's and women's, that magic is still what it is. You're right. In the Final Four and Sweet 16, they want the powers. But they need to give that moment for that first and second round. They just do. It will be a huge mistake if they screw that up.
You know, at one point in the history of that sport, the NIT was bigger than the NCAA tournament. Things change. Times change. And I think we're headed toward that.
We may be headed toward it, but it will be a huge mistake.
You wouldn't feel that way 5 years from now. You would.
Yes, I will. I will, because that's what I love. Nobody changes their lives to watch a Sweet 16 game. The first 4 days of the NCAA tournament is almost like a holiday in the United States, and part of that is those small schools. It just is. Kentucky-Oakland was the most watched game of the first and second round. Why?
Yes.
Because Kentucky lost to Oakland. That's why.
It's valid. But the behavioral change would happen. Over time, people would accept a new tournament that featured the biggest, richest teams.
Nobody wants to
in
see
sport.
It. Nobody wants to
they
see
would watch,
a
Matt.
Seven.
They would watch.
Yeah, but they don't want to see a 7-25 Vanderbilt team. Matt. They don't want to see that.
But these were the same arguments that people have made in college football about this idea that
football
people don't watch
different.
The same teams.
Football's different. First of all, there's
again.
Not 343 teams in football. There's like 80 or 90. Yeah. It's different. It's different. It's just a different thing. Let's go to Coach Doc in Houston. What's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing good.
Good. How you doing?
That's great. Okay, I was listening to you guys. Two things. I was listening to you guys. And you guys were talking about Caleb Williams and, you know, and then y'all were talking about Atlanta drafting the quarterback. Well, I disagree with you guys, because if you look at the success that Seattle had while drafting Russell Wilson in the third round, but paying, I can't think of his name, from Green Bay, they paid him all that money. And Russell was beating him out in OTAs, and you know Pete Carroll said, "Hey, I don't care about this money. We gonna play this guy here. He's the better guy." And it set Pete Carroll up for the next 12 years until he made one, and well, until he made that bonehead decision in the Super Bowl.
But it's different though because of how much they're playing. To be fair to Myron, and I appreciate the call. It's different. The cap, Cousins is going to take such a huge portion of the cap. You can't have that, Myron, sitting on the bench.
Yeah, and I think even if you told me Kirk Cousins had been in Atlanta for a year, I mean, he hasn't been there for a month, Matt, maybe two. And then to do this, it does not make sense. Teams don't do this for a reason. They don't pay a guy $100 million and then draft his successor in the top 10 a few months later. It doesn't make sense.
I think he was talking about Matt Flynn, who was the quarterback they brought in. I will say, Matt Flynn is no Kirk Cousins.
It's a different level.
Matt Flynn signed a 3-year, $20 million contract. Kirk Cousins signed a 4-year, $180 million contract. Yeah. That's a big difference.
Different deal.
Even with inflation and all that, it is a difference. I'm so upset in my heart that Myron does not want the Oaklands and St. Peter's and Yales in the tournament.
No, don't say that. That's not what I'm saying.
Doesn't want Fairleigh Dickinson? No
interest. I'm bracing for the truth.
Maryland, Baltimore County? He doesn't want that.
I'm bracing for the truth, Matt.
The
you know in your heart it's coming.
Here's the difference between basketball and everything else. In football, the equivalent of St. Peter's cannot beat Alabama in a playoff game.
That's fair.
In basketball, it can happen. And that's why it's magical. And you cannot take that away. If the greed takes that away, that's a good way to kill the sport, or at least not kill it, but severely damage it.
That's a fair argument. I get it. But you and I both know it will happen.
Well, I will
Where
fight
we're headed
it till
now,
the
it's
death.
Going to happen.
I will I fight will. It till the death. Of
nah.
the, yes, I will.
You'll fight it early. You'll fight it early.
I'll fight it
early.
The whole time. There's no reason, even if the power schools break off, you cannot put the small schools in the tournament. You can't. There's no reason they can't do that. They can't.
They're not breaking off to have fewer schools in the postseason tournament.
No, you have. Listen, I would much rather them add to the tournament and just add more teams than to take those teams out. If you take those teams out, you're only shooting yourself in the foot. Coming up next, we are going to make our picks for all the games. For the rest of the weekend, this is Sunday Morning with Matt and Myron.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. From the play-in tournament.
Here's Embiid, trains a triple.
Until a champion is crowned at the NBA Finals.
The Denver Nuggets NBA champion.
History awaits. The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
It is Sunday morning here, Matt Myron. You can tune into baseball action tonight. Red Sox and the Cubs. Red Sox and the Cubs. Coverage Sunday night baseball begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, 7 Eastern on ESPN. It is time now, as we do every week, to get you all the picks you need in order to get you ready for the games. It is time for Take Your Pick.
Take your pick.
You take your pick.
It's time to Take Your Pick on Sunday morning.
All right, let's get started. Mikey, what do you got?
All right, let's start off with the NBA playoffs. 1 o'clock, ABC. The New York Knicks at the 76ers, if they got their sneakers, or is that the other team? Anyway,
that was the other game.
Okay, New York leads the series 2-1. Who you got, Myron?
I don't know. I mean, Embiid needed 50 points, and I don't know what that move you'd call it in wrestling where he pulled Mitchell Robinson down, but it didn't feel – like it was on the books, felt a little dirty. I think the Knicks will win. I think this game, just their depth has been a challenge. And I don't think Embiid has that kind of game in him back to back just because of the injuries he's dealing with. So I'll take the Knicks.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Knicks are a 5.5 point underdog. I like the Knicks in this one quite a bit, actually. You know, Embiid is not going to go for 50 again. And I think this is the Knicks are a better team. I'm really surprised, actually, that the spread is like that. So while we're talking, I'm going to make sure to put some action on the Knicks. I got the Knicks. What's next?
All right, live betting. All right, 3:30 ABC. You got the Clippers at the Mavs. Dallas leads the series 2-1, Matt.
Yeah, this one's a tough one for me because the Clippers got to go all into this game. They lose this one, I think it's over. This game is on ESPN Radio. I'm going to take the Mavs. I don't love it, but the team seemed to rally. They're playing really well. Game one may have been a little bit of an aberration, so I will take the Mavs, Meyer.
Yeah, Kawhi is questionable. He just doesn't look like he's close to 100%. It sounds like even if he plays, he'll be on some sort of a minutes restriction. And it feels like Dallas is starting to build a chemistry before our very eyes a little bit. I think the Mavericks are going to win this, and I think they're going to win this series.
What's next?
All right, later tonight, 7 o'clock, you got the Bucks at the Pacers. Myron, can your Bucks tie the series?
Oh, man. I mean, Giannis isn't playing. No Dame. It's just a bad situation all around, I think, for the Bucks, not having their two stars there. And, again, they lost to the Pacers when they were at full strength during the regular season. So I think the Pacers win this, win the series. And then the Bucks got to figure out how to approach this offseason and whether or not Giannis and Dame can coexist.
Yeah, this is unfortunate because this on paper should have been the best series of first round, but everything that's collapsing for Milwaukee goes to show you that a big part when you're predicting the NBA, injuries are huge, more than any other sport. You lose a top guy, it's hard. You lose your two top guys, forget it. And so Indiana, to me, this is an easy victory for the Pacers. What's next?
All right, then the final game tonight, 9:30. You got the Timberwolves at the Suns. Can Minnesota sweep the series, Matt?
I mean, the Suns look done to me in the last game. I mean, they just look like they looked absolutely done and cooked. And, like, this team, which on paper should be pretty good, they just aren't. And the Timberwolves, which everybody criticized that Rudy Gobert trade. Everybody. And guess what? It worked. They're good. I'm taking the Timberwolves, and I think they are – I'm not saying they're going to beat the Nuggets next series, but they probably can give them as good a series, Myron, as anybody can.
The Timberwolves are legit contenders for the championship. They can win a national – they can win an NBA title. I mean, they're playing that well. The defense is that good. The depth they have, Anthony Edwards is a superstar and should be the starting two guard on the Olympic team. I think they're going to win here. Something to consider about the Phoenix Suns and how they're in really bad shape going forward, Matt. They are going to pay three players more than $150 million next year with KD, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. That is more than all but, I believe, 15 teams in the NBA have for their entire payrolls going into next season. So the Suns are in a tough spot, not just in this series, but really the rest of the way that they have these three guys under these big contracts.
You got two dudes on the back end of their career, and it's not clear that they work together with the guy they have in the prime of their career. I just don't know how this is going to work out positively for them. What's next?
All right, let's go to the Diamond. 2 o'clock, Yankees at Myron, your beloved Brewers. Yankees smacked them around yesterday, 15-3. Marcus Stroman versus Tobias Myers, the pitching matchup.
The Brewers are a surprise story in baseball. They're good. I don't know how that happened, yeah. Myron, but they are. I'll take the Yankees today, though, to get the series and get the win, since I don't know who Tobias – what'd you say his
Myers.
Name? Tobias Myers. I don't know. I thought he worked down the street from me, so I'm going to take the Yankees because I don't really know who that is.
Well, let's stop saying they smacked them. I mean, that's not what really happened.
15-3.
It's 15-3.
Well, let's but context matters.
There's no context.
Brewers have dealt with Brewers have dealt with a ton of injuries.
So is
they've had to deal with injuries in their first month. That's been a big time challenge for them. William Contreras
though
has been sort of
what injuries do they have?
Kristen Yelich. I mean, they've had a bunch of things.
He's
they've
played
had to manage
most of the time though.
I get it, but they've had injuries. They've had to weather. And I think William Contreras has been sort of the face.
The weather? What do you mean they've had weather?
They've had to weather. They've had to weather the injury. They've had to weather the injuries. English 101, should I teach everybody?
I thought
right?
You
I am a writer.
That, I thought
right?
you meant that okay. the weather's been tough on them.
Weather the injuries. I didn't know. I'm a writer, and sometimes I have to remember I'm not dealing with writers. William Contreras has been great. I'm picking the Brewers here. Stop saying they got smacked. They've been shorthanded. They're not even at full speed yet, but they're going
to
win this.
Did you hear that, Mikey? How he like my man said they had to deal with the weather, and he's acting like
say,
you and I.
I didn't
can't
say deal
understand.
With the weather.
Yeah, he said,
I didn't
Mikey,
say they had to deal with the weather.
Deal with
I,
the weather
I didn't say
not.
That.
All right.
I didn't say they had to deal
he
with the weather.
He said they had
That's
to deal with
said.
Injuries and the weather.
I said
the
they
weather.
Had to weather.
You said the weather.
The injuries. I did not say the weather. Why would I say the weather?
I don't
Why would
know.
I say that?
Right, you did next, not say the weather. Go ahead.
Moving on. 2:30. Reds at Rangers. Jonathan India, big four-hit game yesterday for Cincinnati in a win. You got Andrew Abbott versus Dane Dunning, weather permitting today.
Yeah, I got it. I like – why do you say weather? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was fine. Abbott's been good so far. Problem is Reds can't hit. That's the problem. They're my team. They haven't been able to hit. I'm going to say the Rangers win today. We got to get our – it's probably a team of injuries. Four of their starters have been out all year for the Reds, so it's time to get them back.
Oh, you got some injuries. Is that what you're saying?
Because you've had one guy miss a week. We've had four starters miss the whole year.
Oh, look at that. Your injuries are more important than my injuries. I get it.
Yeah, but our weather's been fine. We've been able to play in all conditions.
I did not say – I'm not going to let people think I said – I did not say they had to overcome the weather. I did not say that. I said they had to weather the injuries. You know I said that, man. They're playing Texas, right? Texas, Cincinnati?
Yep.
I'll go with the Rangers, man. Rangers are – They're good. They're champs.
All right, so one more. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, 8 o'clock, Rangers at Capitals, New York. Do they get the sweep tonight?
Well, the good thing about hockey is you know the weather inside of it. So the Rangers are going to win.
I didn't say weather. That's not what I said. Stop telling people I said weather. I didn't say the weather. And the Rangers will lose. I'm tired of the Rangers. I'm an Islanders guy.
They're sweeping.
They always get overlooked. Everybody loves the Rangers.
They're sweeping. It'll be easy. We know if you go into the Rangers game, the weather should be cold and there will be
ice. I didn't
ice.
Say that, man.
Thank
that
you
ain't
very
what I said.
Much. This has been Sunday Morning with
Lying
Matt Myron
on
ESPN Radio.
Greeny.
They have allowed Dak Prescott to get to a position where he will unilaterally dictate what happens with him. There's almost nothing they can do about it.
Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Thanks for listening to Matt and Myron, the podcast. You can listen to the show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt and Myron, the podcast.